Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And one of those small business owners is our special guest this hour, and our new friend. His name is Jack Harbour. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He has over 25 years of sales management and training experience with both products and service. As a sales trainer and a coach, he has assisted a wide range of individuals and companies, including salespeople, technical support people, managers, professionals, and on, including small business owners, by the way. He worked for General Electric for a number of years. He also worked for some other companies before he decided to head out on his own, which we're going to tell you about in just a little bit. Jack Harbour, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Jack, your story sounds like it's not unlike my story. You were a good employee for a long time, and then you decided for whatever reason to go out on your own. I'd like for you to take a couple of minutes and just tell us a little bit about how you became a small business owner.
Well, as a matter of fact, our stories sound a lot alike. As you said in the opening, I was with GE for 15 years, managed huge sales territories, became sales training manager. When I thought an opportunity to be a bigger fish in a little pond, well, it was an opportunity, came along, and I elected to leave. As a matter of fact, my wife was a big help in that decision at the time.
How's that?
Well, as I was trying to decide after 15 years whether to leave GE, she asked me, she said, Jack, is this a good opportunity or not? And I said, yeah, it's a good opportunity. And she says, you know, if you don't leave a large company after 15 years, you never will.
And like a smart lady.
She really is. She's a real asset to my life. So I went to a startup computer services company that lasted 3 years before it folded. Found myself on the street for the first time.
How'd that feel?
Very depressing.
You mind telling me how old you were?
At the time?
Uh-huh.
Golly, 42.
Jeez, that's scary.
And I was born in the age where everybody knows that the male was supposed to be the breadwinner.
Oh, yes. I'm beating my chest here.
Yeah, my father made sure I understood that, and I wasn't. And I was on the street. So I took about 2 months before I found another job as director of training at a larger software company. It was $100 million. And 3 years later was downsized from there as they brought in all new management. And on the street for a second time. This time they spent some money on me to have me go spend my lonely days in an outplacement firm.
Yep.
And while researching all the possibilities for future employment, I also was researching the opportunities to go into work for myself. Because I figured I could be down. I'd rather have some more control over my life than I apparently had in the last two jobs.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another, and I decided I wasn't good enough, smart enough, talented enough to create a company from scratch. So I decided to get the help of a franchisor and join a franchise organization.
Well, you know, I'm going to argue with you just a little bit. I don't think you ought to say that sort of thing about yourself. I think you just what it sounds to me like you did was that you checked all the options and that this option, this franchise option, fits your circumstances better.
Well,
I think that's a better way to say
that.
I
think it probably gave me the higher probability of still being in business 5 years later.
Yeah.
Because you start with a product. You don't have to package it, design it, develop it, market it. That's all done in advance of your starting the business.
And you became a Sandler franchisee.
Yes.
Sandler Training Institute.
The franchisor is Sandler Systems Incorporated. My implementation of it here is Sandler Training Institute.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more and later in the hour as we move on. You know, as I said, your story is so scary. It's scary. It's so familiar to me. Just to give you a quick idea about what happened to me, I mean, I was the kid in high school who had a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was making my own car payment, paying my own way, so to speak, not so to speak, I actually was doing that and you know, worked my way through college, paid my own way, the whole thing. And so at 38, guess what happened on and around my 38th birthday? Not only was I unemployed for the first time in my life, but it was the anniversary of my 20th reunion from high school.
Oh dear!
So I show up at my reunion. You know the first question they ask you at your reunion.
What do you do now?
What are you doing now? Oh, I'm unemployed for the first time since I was 6 years old.
goodness.
So you think that won't set you back a little bit?
It certainly does.
But it hardens your metal, doesn't it?
Yes, I think that's true too. In hindsight, it's probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
Well, I think I don't know if I've told you this or not. My audience has heard me say this. I was downsized like you were twice in 18 months,
mm-hmm.
but I've since gone back and thanked both of the people who downsized me.
Yep.
Have you done that yet?
Well, one yes. The other has since passed away.
Yeah. How did they take it when you said that to them?
I think they were a little jealous.
the ones that I talked to, I mean, I sort of feel like maybe they acted like maybe they were proud of it or something.
Yeah.
they were glad to help, I guess. I don't know. Okay, you decided to become a franchisee. What went into that? Tell us about the different options that you had that you looked into.
There are, surprisingly, you can start with the International Franchise Organization. You can do, Inc. Magazine has an annual list of the top 500 franchises.
But what? Before we talk about franchises, what were some of the other things that you considered?
I was always going to be involved in some sort of training, sales training or management training.
You'd had a lot of background. You'd been trained by some of the best in how to do that. You'd had a lot of experience there,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, I have.
So you were going to call on your strength.
It's my strength and my passion.
Mm-hmm.
So the only question I thought, I mean, there was, I really never looked at other options for myself if I was going to business myself.
Right.
The only options were to try and do it myself or to get in with someone else who was already doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were obviously two ways to get in with someone who's already doing it, an equity position in an existing company, a franchise, or, as I said, go out and try and develop my own market.
Right.
Because my prior jobs were almost exclusively dealing with national and large companies, I didn't have a very good local network.
Right. Jack, can you stand by? Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. We're visiting with Jack Harbor, and we're talking about the transition from being an employee to being a self-employed person, being a small business owner, and becoming a franchisee of a professional services company. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 20 after. We are back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, Jack Harbor. And Jack is a franchisee of an organization called Sandler. Well, it's called locally Sandler Training Institute. By the way, folks, he's out of Rockville, Maryland, and we're going to get him to tell us a little bit more about the franchise organization that he works with. But right now, Jack, you were telling us about how you came to become a professional services franchisee, and I had just asked you about how you came to do this, and you commented that that this was sort of your background, and you were able to find a franchise that suited what you were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we talk about Sandler, what were some, without saying anything specific, any other, you may not, don't have to mention any specific names, but how many different franchisors did you consider?
Probably a half a dozen, and I don't mind mentioning names.
Okay.
You can get, and they, by the way, they weren't all franchise arrangements. Some are distributor arrangements.
Okay.
Some were as independent contractors. They're not all franchise arrangements, but virtually anyone that you can think of in the sales industry, well, that's not 100% true,
mm-hmm.
has the ability for you to go to work for them. Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, those folks.
Right.
And so I visited about a half a dozen of them, and looked at a variety of things, such as how many franchises were there in any territory, what kind of turnover the franchisees had.
Now, that's a big deal. That first one is a big deal, isn't it? Because especially if you live in a metropolitan area like you do, you live in kind of in the D.C. area there, the D.C. Baltimore corridor, that's a big deal, isn't it? Because if they'll sell 100 in your area, then you got a lot of competition.
I do, and that's not the case here.
Yeah.
I have a huge territory. I don't know if you know Maryland, but it goes from the ocean on one end to Hagerstown on the other.
Yep.
But does not include Baltimore, so it's kind of the southern Maryland territory.
Right. Are you exclusive in that area?
No, but it is restricted. There are four franchisees in that territory.
Okay.
And that's, we're at the max there.
That's the max. Okay, well, that's good to know. Folks, these are important questions to ask, aren't they, Jack?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to be careful that the franchise is equally as concerned about your individual success as you are.
Instead of just selling you something, getting your money and moving on to the next person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And historically, although it's much less so now, historically, one of the reasons franchisors are so heavily regulated is because they did just that. They tried to find out how fast they could sell a franchise, have the person fail, and then resell it.
And I'm going to remind folks who may not be familiar with these terms, and don't feel badly if you don't know the difference between a franchisee and a franchisor. Some people don't. A franchisor is the person who has the goods and wants to sell it to you, and if you are the person buying this franchise from that company or from that individual, then you are the franchisee, and they are the franchisor. Okay.
The franchisor is McDonald's in Chicago. The franchisees are all the stores you see on the street.
That's exactly right. Now, you mentioned something a few seconds ago that I want to come back to. You said you looked at franchise relationships. You looked at independent contractor relationships. You looked at distributorships.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I think of professional services types of relationships with other companies, I don't think of the term distributorship. That's an interesting term to use.
I have probably a half a dozen different distributor arrangements. Most of the sales training organizations, and Sandler is one, have a product, a format, a way of doing business that they have packaged up.
Mm-hmm.
For you, and effectively, you are distributing that along with doing your own services and consulting. The difference in the arrangement is mostly one in legal arrangements between it being a distributor for someone else, which is usually not restrictive on the distributor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a franchisee, you are most often restricted for doing any business that might be competitive to theirs.
Okay, so as a franchisee, you're basically locked in to doing what you told them you would do. Whereas as a distributor, you can have more than one product in your kit bag.
Yeah, that's correct. Now I have more than one product, and Sandra's okay with that. But if the other product is not a sales training product,
I see. It's got to be something that doesn't compete at all.
For example,
Jack, hold on to that.
Sure.
I'm gonna let you tell us that when we come back, folks. You're gonna have to wait on that information. Give you a cliffhanger here. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jack Harbor is our special guest. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, have a question or a comment, 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And Jack Harbor is our new friend and our special guest. And we're talking about the process that he went through to transition from being a good employee for many, many years, just like me, to having been downsized a couple of times over a period of a year or two, just like me, and then saying, hey, you know, I can do this to myself. I don't have to have somebody to help me have grief in my life. I can do that all by myself. And so he went out on his own, as I did, and the only difference is he went out on his own about 2 years after I did, 2 or 3 years after I did, and whereas I chose to carve out something on my own, which might have been a mistake, I don't know, I didn't really look at any franchise organizations, he chose, after looking at quite a few other options, he chose to go the franchise route, and that's where we're headed right now. We're talking now about the actual process of finding and identifying and qualifying and choosing a franchise to a professional, what I'm calling a professional services franchise. Is that a good way to term that, Jack?
Yes, sure.
If you've got a question or comment, folks, if you'd like to look into something like this and you'd like to have some help with that, I know Jack would be glad to offer any advice that he can. The number is 888-822-8255. Jack, have you got a website?
Yes, we do. There's a Sandler website on which you can find me. It's www.sandler.com.
It's just like it sounds, folks.
S-A-N-D-L-E-R.
Right. All right.
Once in there, you can read about Sandler, and if you want to find any particular franchisee near you, you can do that by typing in your zip code.
Mm-hmm.
and it will list those who are in your area.
Which folks, is a good service that the franchisor is offering their franchisees, and one of the benefits, right?
Yes, we don't pay for that, other than, you know, the standard fees we normally pay. That's part of the service that you buy when you buy a franchise.
Right. Okay, now, you were about to tell us something a minute ago when we took the break.
As I mentioned, most franchises, if you were, for example, to go to a McDonald's, they wouldn't want you selling Burger King hamburgers.
Right.
Most franchises restrict what it is you can sell, so Sandler does not want me selling other training services, other particularly sales and sales management training.
Or motivational, would they consider motivational to be?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right.
But I also have represent a personality profile that I use to help when I'm working with folks in communication among team members or in hiring,
right?
Which Sandler doesn't offer.
I see.
So again, that's a product that I can represent because Sandler doesn't offer a competing product.
All right. Now, what would happen if Sandler decided they were going to do that? Would you be grandfathered?
Yes. In most cases, I think that's, you know, I can't speak for all franchisees, but most franchisees have contracts that range, well, at least in Sandler, they are 5-year contracts.
Right.
They have the right to, we have on both sides the right to renegotiate that when it comes due in 5 years, but certainly for the first 5 years, I'd be grandfathered.
So you're working on your second contract with them then, aren't you?
I am.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the process that you went through. You looked around, you found a number of different options. You decided that you were going to be you liked the franchise idea, the franchise relationship, and you found the ones that you wanted, and you picked Sandler. Now, tell us what you went through to qualify the different companies to finally wind up with the one you wanted.
Well, I went and visited personally the headquarters of each one. One was in Waco, Texas, one was in Cincinnati, and one was in Seattle. So I had all
that. That's a lot of work, folks. And I'll tell you, a lot of people won't go to that much trouble, but I'll tell you, that was a very smart thing for you to do, Jack.
Well,
I'm sure you feel that way now for sure.
Yes, and I wanted to make this a career decision, and certainly a few hundred bucks to travel to visit them is worth a career decision.
Right. So you went to 3 different companies.
Well, plus Sandler, who's in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So there were 4.
Mm-hmm.
Got lists to the extent I could, and if it's a franchise, they have to provide it, of all franchisees and all those who have left the business in the last year. Again, as I said, the federal government regulates franchises significantly, so I think there's a safety net in being part of a franchise.
Right.
Because they had to provide financial statements, and they had to provide information about current and past franchisees. And then I started visiting, making calls to those folks.
What were some questions that you would ask those people?
They're really asked them to where they were coming from, how long, for those who were in the business, where, you know, what their background was,
mm-hmm.
how long they've been in the business, whether they would do it again, same choice. And I was surprised that most, not in hindsight, not surprised, most of them were very honest.
And forthcoming?
Very, very much so. They had,
yeah.
There is nothing there's nothing in it for them to be anything other than forthcoming.
Well, and what you found, and you probably weren't prepared for this, having worked for a major corporation as I had done, what you found was that there was a little bit of fraternity there, wasn't there? I mean, there was a little bit of a kinship, and they could sort of see themselves in you a few years back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, they really, really could, and they it is not to any franchise advantage to have a high turnover, so they want to avoid that, too.
Exactly. Stand by, Jack. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, we're talking to Jack Hauber. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 39 after. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and one of my heroes is on the show with us right now.
I love being defined or called a hero.
You are a hero. You're a small business owner. You went out on your own about 7 years ago, and you said, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to carve out my place in the marketplace, and I'm going to be successful. And you did it, and I'm proud of you, Jack.
Well, thank you.
And we're talking to Jack Hauber. He is His organization is called Standler Training Institute out of Rockville, Maryland. Jack, would you like to give us the phone number, please?
I have an 800 number, actually an 888 for me, and I have one for the Standler headquarters.
Give us both of them.
Standler in Baltimore, the headquarters, if you're interested in talking more about franchise.
That's where the franchisor is, folks.
That's where the franchisor is.
Okay, go ahead.
Is 800-638-5686.
Now, that's where they can go. They can call that number, or they can go to that website you gave a minute ago, Standler.com, and find out how to get information on becoming a franchisee, or just finding out just in general if that company has something that would be of interest to them.
Yes.
All right. Now, if they want to talk to you directly and work directly with you, or get you to help them with something, or just find out if they'd like to work with you, how do they contact you?
888-307-1919.
Okay. Sounds good.
And that can get them to me.
All right. Do you have a local number for the Maryland area?
I'm sorry?
You have a local number for the Maryland area?
Yes, 301.
Uh-huh.
590-8700.
Okay. And let's get back into the process that you were going through in qualifying. You went out and you visited three or four different companies. You went all the way across you went all around the country and then wound up being virtually at home, didn't you?
Well, that was one of the decisions. As I said, I talked to all the folks. I got lists of franchisees and talked to about, a dozen from each one of those where they mm-hmm. would give them to me. As I say, the franchisees had to. Distributors may or may not want to.
Right.
And I asked probably of those dozen, probably eight or nine were current franchisees, and three or four were franchisees who had gone out of business.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously wanted to know what I wanted to avoid as well as what I needed to do.
Why did they fail?
Most of the time, they failed because they didn't do what the franchisor told them they needed to do to be successful.
You know, that's a good point, Jack, because everybody is not fertile soil for a franchise relationship, are they?
No.
Because they are too independent. They're too, and I think I may have been in that category, because I knew a little bit about some franchise organizations, but I'm not sure that I would have been happy with that relationship. But anyway, it's really something to pay attention to, folks. If you are a real renegade, you're a real Mustang, and you just think you've got to do it your own way, the franchise relationship might not be the right way to go.
It might not. Most franchisors have spent a long time trying to figure out how to make the business successful, and so you don't want to spend the first 6 months of your career trying to do it your way.
The best analogy I can give, Jack, is if you're in Spokane, Washington, this morning, and you eat a hamburger, or today at noon you eat a hamburger at McDonald's, and then you fly across the country to Washington D.C. and you get off the plane and go into a McDonald's and eat another hamburger, it's exactly the same hamburger.
Right.
They've learned how to be successful, and you don't mess with that, do you?
No. No, and when you in McDonald's case, I know there are rules about what you can and can't mess with.
Mm-hmm.
Sandler and many of the professional services firms haven't written that down as much in concrete, but they tell you what to do and you should do it.
What did you like about Sandler? What made you be attracted to them?
Well, there were probably three things. One you mentioned was the geography. Mm-hmm. I knew that if I needed help, and needed it quickly, I could do it by more than just telephone. I could drive up there and talk and get support directly in a matter of an hour, hour and a quarter.
If any of the other companies, how big a deal was geography? If any, were there companies of the other three that you visited in Cincinnati and Texas and Washington, of those other three, if they had been closer, would you have been attracted to them?
That was a factor. Probably not the factor. So let me tell the others. The answer is yes. That was a factor I needed to consider.
But were you sort of like them being so close was sort of like an extra little bit of an extra benefit?
That was an extra benefit.
So
for me.
In other words, you would not have gone with them had they been nearby and had not fit your profile.
That's also true. If they hadn't fit my profile, their proximity didn't matter.
Right.
Second thing is I very much like the philosophy. In the case of doing any sort of professional services, consulting or training, to be a good preacher of that gospel, you need to believe the gospel.
Oh, absolutely.
And this one was one that was very comfortable for me.
Can you give us an idea, and I'm not trying to pry into your business, but can you give us an idea of these companies that you looked at? Let's do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Of the companies that you looked at, what were some of the expenses? What was the cost of joining some of these organizations? Give us a range.
Obviously, it ranged depending on the franchisee or franchisor. One of them was a distributor, so there was no front-end cost.
Okay, you only paid for the products that you sold.
You pay for the products you sold.
Uh-huh.
And correspondingly received less support as a distributor.
Right, and less territories protection.
Usually none.
Uh-huh, okay.
Usually none. They could put as many people who wanted to be distributors as they wanted.
Right.
But they were ranging between front-end costs of 20 to, I don't remember, maybe $50,000 was the high end.
Front-end.
Yes, one-time front end.
Very interesting. But there's more to this, folks. There's more to the cost. And when we come back, we're going to get Jack to tell us about that as we wrap up the hour. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. All right, we're back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show, put the normal stuff on the front and the back. And we're visiting with Jack Harbour, and Jack, tell us the name of your company.
Sandler Training Institute.
Which is a franchisee of?
Sandler Systems Incorporated in Baltimore.
Out of Baltimore, and you're out of Rockville, Maryland. And,
yes.
And tell us, take about a half a minute and tell us specifically what you do.
I do sales training, business and sales management training. If my clients happen to be accountants or attorneys, we call it practice development, since sales is often a four-letter word.
Right.
And typically for small businesses, Jim, typically for those folks who have a great deal of technical expertise in whatever they do, whether that's accounting or computers.
Right.
But are uncomfortable having to represent themselves and their products on the marketplace.
All right. Okay, and we're going to have you back, Jack, in a few weeks, and we're going to get you to talk to us specifically about some of the different things that you do and some things that I know that would be helpful to my audience, and I'd appreciate it if you'd join us again and talk about that.
I'd like that.
Well, and what I wanted Jack to do first, though, folks, is I wanted him to tell us about this journey that he has been on, about the transition that he made from being an employee and to being on his own. And Jack, I've told my audience this before, and I'm going to see if it sounds familiar for you. After I'd been in business for myself for about a year, someone said to me once, "Boy, it must be scary being out on your own like that, you know, not having a regular paycheck." And I said, and after being downsized twice in 18 months, I said, "Yeah, you know, you're right. It scares the heck out of me. It's almost as scary as when I work for someone else."
Yes.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes. It absolutely is.
You were talking to us about pricing, and we've only got a couple of minutes.
Well, I'll do this part quickly.
Okay.
There's always a front-end charge. It's usually called a franchise fee that covers initial inventory. It covers training. It covers the support that it takes them to get you up and running.
And you said that might be $20,000 to $50,000, depending on the
yes.
company.
Now, if you're talking McDonald's,
uh-huh.
it's obviously way more than
that. Oh, yeah, half a million or so.
And you also, in that case, need to think about the cost of the space.
Exactly.
In some of these franchises I was looking at, and what I did for a while was run the business out of my home.
Right.
So I didn't have that front-end investment.
You did that with Sandler as well, right?
Yes.
You started out in your home,
yes.
and now you moved into an office
yes.
downtown, so to speak.
Yeah, we have a classroom here that I can train 40
right.
people in it.
Okay, good. Now, what is the ongoing cost?
Now, that varies from franchise to franchise. It's usually a percentage of your gross sales.
Okay.
In Sandler's case, I like what he did. It's another interesting difference, is he's made it a flat monthly fee. So his argument was, if it's a percentage of your gross, I encourage you to lie to me about the sales you make.
Right.
If it's a flat monthly fee and you have a huge sale, you'll be tickled to come tell us all about it.
Right.
So you
pay them a monthly fee
for
the privilege, so to speak, of being associated with them.
Well, yes, plus all the support that they provide.
Like linking to you off their website.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Website, we do quarterly training, three-day training sessions where they help keep us sharp.
And that's included in the price?
Yes.
Okay.
And ongoing support. You can call up there for support, and new franchisees do a couple times a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And then there is typically, in most franchisees, also a cost for the product you buy. The material I use when I'm doing my training, I also buy from Sandler. That's a requirement.
Okay, so you buy that, plus you have the monthly, and then you had this initial startup.
Correct.
Jack, we're going to have to wrap it up. You've done a great job this week, a great contribution. I'm looking forward to having you back.
I'm looking forward to it too, Jim.
We'll do it again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jack Harbor, ladies and gentlemen, from Sandler Training Institute out of Rockville, Maryland. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes like Jack, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to talk about salesmanship.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.